The following message from John chapter 6 is a production of Tony Broom Ministries.
We're going to read from John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll put in at verse 47. Jesus was teaching the people about the bread of life. He had just fed the multitudes, and they were excited about this miracle that they had seen him do. And he had just gotten over to the other side, and the multitude came to where he was, and they followed him, and he said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the bread and you were filled. Labor not for that bread that perishes, but for that bread that endures for everlasting life." And he started this dialogue that you can read in John chapter 6. We certainly don't have time to go through all of it. But he started this dialogue in John chapter 6 about the bread of life. And he told them, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But there's another bread that you need to know about. It's called the bread of life. Jesus himself is the bread of life. I didn't tell you the subject in the beginning either, because I started to ask you whether you'd had supper yet. If you have had supper, or if you haven't had supper yet, you might not like this subject, because we're talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. Oh my goodness, you'd think a bunch of cannibalism when you eat human flesh and drink blood. This is what Jesus started talking about. And he gave them some good news in verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That's good news, because all you have to do to have everlasting life is to believe on him. Now, it sounds like if you read down further in the chapter that you'd have to do a whole lot more than that. But actually, you believe on Jesus, and because you believe on him, it produces a whole lot more than that. Some people have made it into cheap, easy believism. And all you have to do is just say that you believe. But believing is a verb. Believing is an action. And when we believe on him, it produces that faith in our heart. Faith is a noun, just like a casket, just like a sleeping bag or anything else. It's dead without works. Faith is dead. But when you believe, faith is driven into action. When a person believes, faith produces works. And when you believe, you have faith. And Jesus said, "If you believe on me, you have everlasting life. I am that bread of life." You don't have to look any further. He said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." We're not talking about just the manna that fell in the wilderness. We're talking about the bread of life. We're talking about everlasting life. We're talking about the bread that you can eat and live forever. It's not just a day's meal. The children of Israel had to go out every day and gather this manna in the wilderness. And they could not leave it over until tomorrow. If you left it laying over till tomorrow, you were in a whole heap of trouble. You had a lot of bad problems if you left it laying over till tomorrow. And that's not the eternal bread. It didn't even last for a day. But Jesus said, "This is the bread that I'm talking about. You can eat and live forever. You can eat and not die." Well, even if you die physically, you're not going to die spiritually. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The bread is not just a wafer. And we use a wafer in communion. We use a piece of bread that represents the body of Christ. But the bread that he's talking about is not just a loaf bread. It's not just biscuit bread. It's not just corn bread. It's not just a wafer bread. The bread he's talking about is the living bread. "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He said this before he even went to the cross. "I will give my life for the sins of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They couldn't understand. How in the world does this man expect us to eat his flesh? What are we going to do, grab his arm and bite a piece of it? That's the mentality they had, because they were looking at things from an earthly and a worldly perspective. And that's the way people do today. You cannot look at the things of God from an earthly and worldly perspective. You have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. And Jesus was speaking to them. You would think he's trying to throw them a curveball. But actually what he was trying to do was to awaken in them a heart of belief, awaken faith in their heart where they could believe. But they refused to look at it. They refused to see it. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now here's where it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Here's where it gets down where the rubber meets the road. He said, Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's not enough just to say, I'm a son or a daughter of Abraham. It's not enough just to say, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Pentecostal. It's not enough just to say, I'm an American citizen, or I'm a citizen of whatever country. He said, you have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. If you do not, you do not have life in you. Well, how in the world could they eat his flesh and drink his blood? Eating flesh and drinking blood. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the eating of the flesh and the drinking of the blood is not cannibalism like they thought. The eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood is what he said to start with. He who believes in me has everlasting life. By believing what Jesus said, by believing in him as the Son of God, we're not talking about trying Jesus. We're not talking about just making a trip to the altar. We're not talking about being baptized just to see if things will turn out a little bit better at home. We're talking about commitment. We're talking about giving our heart and our life to Jesus. We're talking about it's like marriage, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. You commit yourself to each other as husband and wife. And even so, more so, if we would commit ourselves to a person as a husband or wife, surely we should commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Jesus, you died for my sins. You rose from the dead. You gave your body, your flesh, and your blood. You want me to eat your flesh and drink your blood. By giving my life to you and committing myself to you, I'm going all in. If you die, I die. If you drown, I drown. But Jesus is not going to die anymore, and he's not going to drown. You don't have to worry about losing. If you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, everything is going to be all right. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life. And then there's another promise. I will raise him up at the last day. Glory to God, we have the promise of the resurrection. We have the promise that we will not just die. We will not just be annihilated. We have a promise of resurrection. We praise God. We have the promise that he will raise us up. If we're alive on this earth, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If we're lying in the grave, that body, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. We'll come up in power and glory. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. By identifying yourself with God, by getting his word in your heart, by getting his word in your life. What are we doing during this time of pandemic? What are we doing during this time when we cannot get together in church? Are we just wasting time? Are we just watching the network news? Or are we getting the word of God? Are we coming alongside with him? Are we eating his flesh and drinking his blood? He said, if you do, I'm dwelling in you and you're dwelling in me. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We're identifying with him. Every time you hear the word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Every time you read the word of God, every time you have it read to you, every time you hear it, every time you have that word, you're eating his flesh Every time you have that water of life, that word, you're drinking his blood. You're identifying with him. When we have the communion service, we have the bread that represents the body of Jesus. We have the cup that represents the blood of Jesus. We're eating his flesh and we're drinking his blood. It doesn't actually become the flesh and the blood of Jesus like the Eucharist say in some certain religions, but we know that it represents that. And we know that we don't have to eat his actual body. We don't have to bite him and eat him. Well, they were trying to do that. They were so mad. They said, crucify him, crucify him. But that's not the kind of eating that I'm talking about. I'm talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood by loving him, by getting in his word, allowing his word to get in us. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. It's the word of God which lives and abides forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They were embarrassed. They were in shame because Jesus was talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. Are we ashamed of Jesus when he starts talking a certain way? Are we ashamed of Jesus when he moves in a certain way? Are we ashamed of Jesus when he says don't do certain things? Are we ashamed of Jesus when he doesn't approve of the movements and things that are going on in this world? They were ashamed. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You got a problem with this? What's your problem? You got a problem with it? And if you shall, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What about it if I just check out of here? What if I just go up there where I was before? You better hope that I stay down here long enough to die for your sins. It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's a word of God. It's a spiritual word. It's a word of life. It's a word of power. The word is that seed, just like the seed you put in the ground, just a dead seed, but it comes alive and gives power. And the word of God is power, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what he's talking about. The flesh does not profit anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He knew it. He knew it all along what they would do. But yet we still have a choice. Jesus knows what we're going to do. But do we? Do I know what I'm going to do? I hope I know what I'm going to do. And by the grace of God, I'll follow him. But Jesus knows what I'm going to do. I still have a choice to make. And by the grace of God, I'm praying to make the right choice. I know I've made the right choice to follow him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You cannot just walk down the street, and I've heard this teaching lately. You can just walk down the street and decide to believe on him and say, I believe I'll get saved today. No, you don't. It has to be the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost has to be involved in it. And if the Spirit of God is not involved in it, not only can you not do it, but you will not do it. You will not come to God on your own because you cannot come to God on your own. He says here, no man can come to me except it is given him of my Father. No man comes to me but by the Father, he said. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't stand it. The pressure was on. He's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. He's talking about committing your life to him. He's talking about following him no matter what. Whether you can see where you're going or not, he said, I want you to commit your life to me. They couldn't do it, and they turned away from him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, how many times have he shut off his mouth? But there's a couple times when he said things that were right. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we don't have anywhere to go. Will you also go away? You 12, you're with me. Will you go away? Peter said, we don't have anywhere to go. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew a whole lot more than many church folks know today. That is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" This he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Judas Iscariot means Judas the murderer, and Jesus knew who it was. He knew who would betray him. He knew, but yet Judas still had a choice. We all have a choice. Will we identify with him? Will we come alongside of him? He said, "If you're ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I do not want him to be ashamed of me, brothers and sisters. I want to live for him. I want to identify with him. When I can go, I want to go for him. When I have to stay, I want to stay for him. I want to be like the song, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do thy will. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want him to be satisfied with me. But the only way he'll be satisfied with me if I identify with him, if I agree to eat his flesh and drink his blood and not let what this world say or think about me drive me into a corner where I'll be embarrassed and I'll be ashamed of him and I'll be ashamed of his church. I'll be ashamed of his Bible. And I'll be ashamed of his people. Sometimes some of his people do things that make us ashamed, but I'm not ashamed of my brother. I'm not ashamed of my sister. I'm not ashamed of the church of the living God. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm not ashamed of the sanctified life. I'm not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of tongues. I'm not ashamed of prophecy. I'm not ashamed of the gifts. I'm not ashamed of the operation of the Spirit of God. I'm not ashamed in my belief in divine healing. Just because we don't see results sometimes, we still cannot be ashamed. We have to believe, and we have to give ourselves to the Word of God, because God's Word will not fail us. If there's any problem, it's us. It's not God's Word. Jesus said, "He who believes on me has everlasting life." And I know I believe on him, and I know I have everlasting life, and I know that you do too. Father, we thank you for this word that encourages your people. We need encouragement, and you come to give us this word. You come to share your flesh with us. You come to even give your blood, to share your blood with us, and you did. You gave your flesh so we could be healed. You gave your blood so we could be saved. You died in our stead and rose from the dead, and now you live forever. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus, give you praise and glory for this word to our hearts. Bless it, Lord, and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message from John chapter 6 entitled Eating Flesh and Drinking Blood. Make sure that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, identified with him as your Savior, and made him your Lord. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.